Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your faux Friday, Thursday morning edition of Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 21st day of May 2020. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, Hammer. Stop me if you've heard this before. It's going to be sunny today and nice. 25 will be the high today, so a couple of degrees warmer than we got to yesterday. And tomorrow, 28. And then 26 is for the weekend. It doesn't look like there's any rain at all until the early part of next week. So enjoy this fine weather. And it's a little bit warmer this morning than it was yesterday at this time. 11 degrees as you start out your Thursday morning. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer? Oh, hang on here. Let's get you on. Now we go. There we go. No, still not working. I'm just going to keep talking because we're trying to bring Simmer's mic on. Now, normally keeping Simmer quiet is very, very difficult. But we got the computer rolling now, and it's all good, Sean Simpson.
Test number three, we good to go? All right. No, beautiful temperatures. One thing even on the weekend I love, it's going to be, well, anywhere to 26 to 28, but down to 11 degrees, so I'll take it. And by my calculation yesterday, I was trying to think of something positive because always glass half full. I thought, you know what? We're entering in right now, in my estimation, 5 months of nice weather, right? It's basically mid-May to mid-October. So let's just get out and enjoy it and try to find something positive right now.
Okay, there he is. He is Captain Positivity for your Thursday morning as we head toward what looks like a spectacular weekend. What'd you get up to last night? Anything interesting?
No. And to be quite honest with you, where my life is at right now, I'm circling back and watching Anthony Bourdain. And yesterday watching him in Vietnam with Barack Obama, went through episodes that no, there's not a chance I have watched any less than 50 times. So that's basically where I'm at. Got out for a good run, little exercise, absolutely beautiful outside.
How about those rollerblades? Have they arrived yet?
Not yet. Okay. But I can't wait for that, to be honest with you. I just thought, boy, I'll get back into that mode and get a good sweat on, go over, see JT, a few of the people that are living close to me, maybe pop over to Alfie's house for a swim. I assume he's got a pool. He's got a lot of cash. Not yet. So what do you get up to?
Well, I wanted to ask you that maybe they haven't arrived because maybe the porch pirates absconded with it.
Huh? Well, in the building, I don't know what they'll generally do. Sometimes I'll just find it at my door, but in the apartment building I live in, that doesn't happen very often. To be quite honest with you,
the older population in the building tend to be into their thieving.
Well, we have some interesting characters. There's a bus stop in front of the building, and during the winter time, sometimes they've tried to this year start one fella in particular who appears to smoke quite a bit and cough quite a bit, like to use the little front entrance there to stay warm. So that's been a bit of an issue, but no, never any issue as far as theft or anything like that.
Share your thoughts with him?
No, I don't. I was even at the grocery store yesterday, and some fella came on his bike, and he wasn't too happy. He didn't like waiting in line. He had this kind of music machine on his bike, and he was just blaring the tunes. I looked back at him, and he got a little fired up. Then, hey, what are you looking at? And I just looked back straight ahead.
Wow.
I'm not
throwdown? No, simmering?
I'm not in the mood for any throwdown with anybody with what's going on right now.
You gave him the hairy eyeball, though?
No, I didn't do it.
You gave him the Ron McLean eyebrow?
No, I didn't even. I was just curious. Where the hell are these tunes coming from?
Well, you obviously fired him some kind of look because he got his back up, and I don't blame him.
He did, actually. He certainly was like, hey, what are you doing, buddy? And I just was like straight ahead, not even. And I also, from all of my training as a CIA agent when I was living in Russia, I was using the door as my mirror to see if he was going to attack me from behind.
That's like the Bourne identity, huh? That's right.
Exactly. I had it. I was ready to go, ready to give him the clothesline should he come closer to me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Well, what's your go-to move if you saw him all of a sudden speeding towards you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if
was it really to clothesline or just run?
Well, no. The only place I was running was right in the door to get my grub. So no, it wouldn't have been that. But I was, maybe I'd just turn around, give him a little right action, but I think a strong clothesline, that would be more kind of movie type, right?
Yeah.
Just get the big left arm up and boom, right off of the bike. But if I wrecked his music machine, I might be responsible for it.
Now, can you be a surprising lefty? Because, you know, most people aren't suspecting guys that come in with the left. So that's what you find in the NHL fights.
I think if I was holding on, I could do a decent left. But to just crank a good left, no, I'm not sure. And to be quite honest with you, I have not practiced for about 30 years. So even saying that I'd be able to do that, but yeah. You're right. The surprise lefty is, it's one of the great secrets of all time when you get into fights.
And maybe do what the current strategy is, right, which is to grab the guy by the scruff of the collar and use that hand
to
punch them that, with
that
one.
That's true.
Yeah.
No.
Keep your distance.
Yeah, that's the new style.
Yeah, if you can get that technique and you've got the reach.
Did you have the arm length on him? Did it appear? If you went with a straight arm to hold him off, and then you're firing the lefts over top.
That's true. No, I didn't.
What
really
was the tail of the tape here?
I would say it would be pretty close, actually.
Age-wise?
That's a little tough. He was a little rough on the edges, okay. Cruising around on his bike with his music machine.
Boombox?
Yeah. So, no, I'd say we're pretty close. Pretty close in age and everything else. I don't know where his fitness
level. What about hairline?
He had a pair of more of a bite Michael Bolton look.
Okay.
Growing it out, not a whole lot really there. Had a bit of a beard cooking as well. But sure enough, he just was upset about the line, decided, you know what, I'm out of here. Just blasted off of this tunes.
Now, what time is this when you're going to throw down?
This is around 11 a.m.
11 a.m. throwdown, before noon fight. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you, were any of the other shoppers, was there a rhythmic fight, 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 back in the schoolyard?
Yeah, the beauty of Canada when you stand in these lines, and did have, another 2 weeks ago, somebody came into the line who was going crazy and mentioned stuff about the virus and the origin of the virus. As Canadians, nobody says a word. I don't know how it is at your grocery store, but everybody falls into line. If there's a mark where you're supposed to stand, you stand there, and it's basically just head down, wait until you get in. Does anybody converse over in your fine area?
Never.
No, exactly.
Never. I've not talked to one person ever, other than to ask him where I can find the coriander, and that's it.
No. And what's also happened is you have the self-checkout that used to be a very popular thing, but now you're not allowed to buy any booze or buy any beer if you're going through there. Well, how many people do you think are going to the store right now and don't need a little six-pack of beer? So the old self-checkout's empty and the lineup to get through the store. But, hey, they've done a hell of a job. I will say that.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's one of the things, because you got to line up to get into the liquor store now, that I think that's probably your reason that your local grocery store has less supplies, because you can do your one-stop shopping then.
Yeah,
because
nobody likes
to wait in line anywhere. So if I'm going to wait in line, I'll wait once. And I'll get my booze at the grocery store.
Yeah, and I know it kind of goes all into the same pot provincially, but it's amazing the amount of, and what was it about, again, about a month ago when this was all going, one fella came in, was just enraged that they were out of beer. He had his little wheelie thing ready to fire up a few pints. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going over to the beer store, which is around
the
corner.
Hang on, what was out of beer? The grocery store?
Yeah, Loblaws, yeah.
What?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
There was no beer?
There was some of the craft beer, but the actual, for the normal, whatever, I don't even know. One side, I think, is what, craft beer with ciders, and then the other one would be your typical, the Heinekens and everything else.
Yep.
Yeah, they literally at that point, I'd say about a month ago.
Oh, if they didn't have any Heinies, I'd be thrown down as well. I'd be very angry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they've done a good job, and supplies are coming in. I did notice yesterday, I don't know if your store, when's the last time you guys been in, guys, little less meat yesterday. That was the first time I noticed, where I kind of looked around.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You're stoking the fires of the
steak
shortage
supply.
Of meats.
Exactly. Huh? Get in there and grab them. Hey? Go on ahead.
So long, toilet paper, Lysol wipes. Now it's time to hoard the meat.
Yeah, it could be as far as the beef production. What were you guys up to last night?
Headed back out on the ball diamond, my friend.
Nice.
Yeah, took the kid out, and another buddy wanted to come out too, so a little ground ball action, a little fly ball action, and then crank some dingers.
Yeah. Did you get some over the line going? Did you look up over the line? That's the game that the fella told us about. You can find the rules on YouTube.
I had saved it on my YouTube account, and I forgot to take a look at it.
You just don't care what the
and
good
I don't
listener
think we can
is.
Play over the line with two kids.
The good listener offered you a nice piece of advice, and you just dismissed it. Did you get some 500 going at least?
No, not with two kids either. That's not going to happen.
Sure they
because
can.
You know what,
all you need is more than one.
You know, these kids aren't good at self-hitting, right? In 500, you got to toss it up yourself and swing away. These kids, they haven't played 500. I don't think they've played 500 a lot.
All right.
It's been mostly organized baseball. My son, so he's a lefty, so he's throwing the ball up with his right hand, and then trying to get the left hand back on, he's all mixed up. They don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But they can hit a fastball.
So what you're saying is that your kids are like everybody's kids nowadays. The adults have organized their entire lives, so they're incapable of actually making up any games themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. They need structure.
Now, are you pitching them, Hammer, when they're doing a little batting action?
Yes, okay. Yes.
A full windmill or what?
A full windmill? What are you talking? We're going heaters here. Now, they do make fun of me saying I only have two pitches, a changeup and a worse changeup. But I've been working on my heater.
Oh, okay.
And it's still a changeup. So they're still crushing it.
So so you got a fielder then or a catcher? Like, what's going on?
Bucket of balls for me. Okay. Two batters, either side, either dugout, and then they've got to go fetch them. When we're done the bucket, which is probably about 70 balls, they got to go get them. So five hits, switch, and then go.
Are you icing the arm down after this? That's quite a bit of hucking.
Again, I said, I've got a changeup and a worse changeup, so there's not much worry about my shoulder getting hurt.
I've told a story about my oldest sister. So she's like 10 years older than me. She lived out in Alberta forever. So she married a guy who played fastball for a long time. So the first time I went out and visited her, I was pretty younger guy. I played baseball when I was a kid too. So he's in there.
Show him a thing or two.
Oh, he goes full windmill.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, full windmill, and then he throws the knuckler. And I swear to God, I've got the glove.
How early did you swing?
I got the glove. I'm catching. Oh, I got them down in the crouch. Yeah. I got this. Yeah. It goes right around my glove and hits me right in the forehead. He laughs so hard. You know how they do that thing? The full windmill, and then they hit their hip to slow it down?
Yeah.
But then he hits me with the knuckler as well. You know what?
Those are funky.
Oh, my God. I don't know how guys throw those.
Remember watching the Sox, and when Wakefield would pitch, right? I think Veritek would end up coming out, and they had the special catcher just for him, how difficult it was. And in watching that, and they used to have a ton of fastball here in Ottawa, even where I live now, used to have tournaments. And part of it is almost like a guy that takes a slap shot if you're a goaltender, right? Sometimes it's the motion. It's not the velocity. And I would go to those tournaments, or I'd watch, and you watch some of the women collegiate in the United States. I don't know how they ever get a hit. Like, it feels like the speed of the pitcher, that it's almost impossible to get the bat around fast enough to catch up with the ball.
Yeah, they're right on top of you, right?
Oh, very, very much so.
Well, they've equated, and I don't know how far a softball pitcher, we're talking about women's baseball now, is away from the plate. But the equivalent of someone who can throw is the same as a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, right? You're that much closer, so you have that much time as a hitter to react. So that's how they kind of equate it.
Yeah, the rotation. What is it? Is it 70 feet to the pitching mound hammer?
60 feet, 6 inches.
60 feet, 6 inches.
Again, the women collegiate. Craig Berube, boy, he was big into the softball and out in Alberta as well. Lots of guys have kind of enjoyed that. Remember back in the day, and the NHL had to cancel it, they used to have the annual baseball tournament in Niagara Falls, and the legend. Stories of
there
that.
There we go.
That's how we ended up talking about the Sunrise. Was that the name of the place?
Oh, yeah, that's a Sundowner.
Sunrise is where you're at the Sundowner when you walked out. You saw the sunrise.
It was between the baseball, the absolute hammered for the whole weekend, the risk of injury, along with a lot of other things. You talked to some of the old school guys there. It was just a complete gong show.
What a shocker.
Softball tournament, a weekend long that ends in disarray.
And it's sponsored by Molson.
Okay?
a free beer tent.
Until somebody blows out their ACL.
Oh, exactly.
All right, we'll take a break. 6:18. We got a lot to get into today. We got some news on the CFL, on hockey, on the NBA. We'll get into quite a bit of stuff. All right, so we'll get you updated on all of that this day in sports history. We'll celebrate some sports birthdays. We got Pierre McGuire. We got Brad Sinopoli of the Ottawa Red Blacks joining us in the wake of the announcement yesterday from the CFL. And Brad, of course, a new dad as well. We'll find out how fatherhood is treating him. So we'll get into all of that when we come back. It is a Thursday morning. We're glad you're with us. Beautiful morning with Sports Radio TSN 1200. And, I will admit right now, I'll probably know it when I hear it, but as I read what it is right now, I have no idea what that song is. But I know a few of the others. Yeah. So there you go. Top summer songs on a beautiful Thursday morning.
Yeah, you think of the Beach Boys, good old California, a little surf action, and kind of what, back to old Jan and Dean for the old schoolers, when all that stuff kind of became the cool thing, right? The whole California sound and hanging out, and cool times.
Yeah, that gives it the good simmer vibe. That's what that does
there. Exactly, it does, actually.
It's all about the simmer vibe.
Yeah.
All right, 6:24. Welcome back. All right, so Randy Ambrosi, the CFL commissioner, had a fan forum yesterday, and then put down the computer mouse, picked up the phone and called into Ian and Steve on the drive yesterday afternoon, talking about the latest plan as far as the potential for return of CFL football. So now we have a little bit of a timeline. For sure, it ain't starting until September. All right, they have made that official now. There will be no CFL football before the 1st of September. After that, here's the commissioner talking about potential timelines.
I've been thinking a lot about the kind of this continuum of time at which various things will have to be decided, and I actually don't know that it's time that that leads us to a deadline. I think it's information. And at some point, we will have enough information to tell us what is with it, what is possible and what is not possible.
Right. So no specific dates, but he's talking about in the summer when when they're going to have to, because at some point you're going to have to make a decision on, okay, we're going to try to get a season going. We're going to bring guys up from the U.S. We're going to quarantine them. We're going to get a training camp. We're going to. I'm presuming they're probably not going to play any exhibition games. They're going to go right into a season. But at some point, you have to make that decision. But as he said, right now, they're being guided more by health guidelines than the calendar.
Yeah, and a little time continuum, probably watching Back to the Future. Probably wishes he could have the machine and put his team there. You know, a couple of things for the CFL that are obviously sensitive. That they cannot, and they said they cannot play without fans. And then you're going to run into a weather issue at some point too, right? I mean, this idea, September and October, good to go. If you want to grind it out for November, I don't think playing good old football outdoors in Canada in December would be a whole lot of fun for anybody. And even if you could have fans, I don't think anybody's showing up. So, hey, they're in a tough spot right now, without a doubt, for the CFL.
Now, one of the things he did say, because you're right, before they have talked so much about the fact that, hey, no fans, no season. He did allude to the fact of, because Ian asked him the question directly, he did say there is a scenario in which the league would play with no fans. And that would be, believe it or not, in the CFL, like every other sport, they're looking at the potential of playing in so-called hub cities, where all the games would be played in one or two markets across the country. Haven't heard specifically what they might be. Obviously, would be in areas that have been less affected by the pandemic than others. But that scenario is still out there as well. Not the first choice, I'm sure, to do that. But that's something they're looking at potentially as well.
Yeah, and curiosity as to what's happening in Toronto. The first two thoughts I would have automatically from a weather standpoint, you'd play all your games in BC and Toronto. But, of course, they're not playing right now in good old Sky Dome. If the Jays aren't there, would you retrofit something, move into it, and end up doing something like that?
Or the Big O. Don't forget the Big O.
Oh, that's a good point.
Montreal's worse than anywhere now, right?
No, for sure. You're probably right. So you go Toronto or Montreal, Vancouver. And as you go through each of the sports, it's just interesting. We talk about the National Hockey League and how many times can you play a day. Baseball's interesting, and then basketball, as you look at some of their scenarios, they have the luxury of obviously the court, the facility, but when it comes to TV, really doesn't matter, right? I mean, you could run that thing 24 hours if you wanted to. So each one certainly has its different limitations or I guess issues that present itself.
Yeah, of course, when you think about the way the CFL schedule is laid out, all the games are on one network, or they're on TSN. No games ever overlap. They had, you know, last season many days in which there were either Friday nights or sometimes Saturdays, triple headers, right? Yeah. Three games in a row. You could do that. The problem would be, if you're in one of these hub cities, is the facility itself. There is no way that you would have enough locker room area to be able to house even four teams, right? Because while two teams are playing and their stuff is in the locker room, you know, two teams are getting ready to play in the next game. Okay, while the first game ends, those guys get out of there. Okay, the guys playing in the third game can maybe move into that in time. So that's probably the biggest issue as far as, you know, if you played as many as three games in a day.
Yeah, and again, do you have separate facilities where somebody gets ready, they hop on a bus, then all of a sudden they come off the bus, you end up having trailers at the facility? There's certainly ways to get around it, but yeah, and then just from the CFL standpoint, I still can't get my head around on when I see the operational costs for it, where if you said to me, hey, you don't need, you know, when I look at the money from TSN and my player costs, boy, I think I could end up making that work. Now, would it take a bit of a loss? Possibly. But when you start to look at the actual budget of these teams and the public budget last week of $33 million, it's hard to kind of comprehend or understand. Then you're going to get into the travel component, right? And for a league where you look from a budgetary standpoint, to start moving and housing 50 or 60 football players is not cheap.
No. One of the other interesting aspects and one of the other things that the commissioner is being asked to think about, and this is, I actually saw this through Nolan McMillan from the Red Blacks on his social media yesterday. He's studying to become a financial advisor. And his message to the commissioner was, in a sense, I'll be paraphrasing his words, but he essentially said, you shut down football for a year. You got a bunch of guys, you know, you only paid them enough money where you can just sit out and do nothing. You got to get another job. You might have another job anyway.
Yeah.
Well, once you go down that road of getting another job and, you know, whether it be a financial advisor or construction job or whatever it might be, that might be, it's like, okay, that's it. I'm signing off my football career right now.
Yeah.
I've gone down this road. I don't want to, you know, either A, take the risk that there'll be a season next year. Yeah, am I going to have a job or whatever? I've got this secure thing now. I've got a job. Forget it. I'm not going to play football any longer. So that was the message. I thought that was pretty interesting from Nolan McMillan.
No, it is. And hey, gosh, if you see, what's the fellow, the Canadian on Kansas City that's a doctor?
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
You know, and hey, you know what? You're going into to that. And if you're a financial planner, that's awesome. Well, you should be doing that anyway. I think to Jeff Avery, and he talked about when he played in the CFL here, the system set up perfectly is that you played in the CFL, then you had a job. Well, that set you up for the after your career, and look at how well Jeff has done for himself. And I'm very appreciative, but I'll also say that for the guy that has to go work construction over the winter for 6 months, he'll be chomping at the bit and probably come for half the salary. I'm not feeling it. And let's be honest with you, with the job market in the United States and Canada, who's rolling into a career right now? So when I hear this kind of sky is falling, I don't believe it for a minute. I think the players will be even more eager to come back, but that's just my perception. If you get into a great career, you know, hey, good for you. But I'm just going to be realistic about where different guys are at. And hey, other guys physically may say, you know what, I've had enough, and they just let themselves go. But this idea that everyone's going to roll into a career, I still think there'll be a lot of players.
Well, listen, I understand there's an endless supply of football players, especially American football players, come up and play. But you'd like to keep your guys who have played in the league, who are familiar to your fans and everything.
Yeah.
And even if you lose 10 of them, Simmer, that's 10 more than you want to lose.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I just don't, again, with kind of the idea when the league was asking for the money to this idea, if they miss a year, they won't have any players and that the league is going to fold up. Just my thought, and I don't know in the league finances, but from a playing standpoint, like I said, I think a lot of guys will still be very eager to come back up and play.
We'll put that question to Brad Sinopoli of the Red Blacks. He's going to join us after 9 o'clock here this morning. We'll talk about what the CFL announced yesterday and what his thoughts are on the season coming forward, and as well becoming a new dad as well. One other piece of news from Randy Ambrosi yesterday, and I guess in a roundabout way, this relates to the situation here in Ottawa. They've announced that the Grey Cup will not be held in Saskatchewan this year. They've essentially said whichever two teams get to the Grey Cup game, the team of the two, the two finalists that has the better regular season record, you're going to host the Grey Cup game. So for Ottawa, which had no shot at hosting the Grey Cup game, all of a sudden it's there for you, baby.
Yeah,
just go out and get in the game, have a better record than the other team, and you're going to be hosting the Grey Cup game. Now, it won't be with all the hoopla. You'll only have a week to get ready for it, so you're essentially hoping to, well, if there are fans at the game, you're hoping to sell it out to your hometown fans, so, and there'll be none of the other stuff that makes Grey Cup Festival so much fun, but that is the change they announced yesterday as well.
Would you like to see that as something regular that the CFL does?
No, because I don't think, if you remove the whole festival and everything around it, Grey Cup week itself is just becomes the game.
Yeah.
Not that interesting,
yeah.
Quite frankly. I mean, the game is interesting, but you know, anybody that went through it a few years ago, right, in 2017 here in Ottawa, how much fun did you have going on the Wednesday or on the Thursday or the Friday or the Saturday or whatever, and going down to the various events at Lansdowne? If you only have, you know, if you win on the Sunday and you're hosting the Grey Cup game the next Sunday and you don't know if it's going to be you or not, you can't set any of that stuff up.
Yeah.
So you remove that option. And you remove the option of meeting Canadians from all over the country that annually gather at the Grey Cup. So no. I like it the way it is right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a home field side, but I understand also what you're saying there, how you're going to end up selling it. And you could also get into a rotation like Calgary. I guess if we went back on record and how many times, I mean, you could have the same city hosting it 4 or 5 years in a row, which, hey, to each of the markets that you go into,
and it's
certainly
a big
financially, it's a nice
big
thing.
Money maker.
Oh, absolutely. It is.
Huge, for the team that hosts.
Yeah.
They basically fund themselves losses in any subsequent years. You're probably good for a couple of years in some cases.
For cities like Regina, I'd love to see Hamilton get it at some point.
They got it next year.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yep.
Well, there you go. But the financial impact, certainly nice for each of those.
Saskatchewan, by the way, will get the 2022 game the way it's set up right now. And as Randy Ambrosi said yesterday, hey, you know what, Saskatchewan, you can still host this year. Just go out and make sure you have the best regular season record and get into the game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can hear the interview in its entirety. Randy Ambrosi, CFL commissioner, on our website, tsn1200.ca. We'll take a break at 6:34. When we come back, Bill Daly, the NHL's deputy commissioner. with an update on the draft, the NHL draft. Huh? Wait till you hear what the deputy commissioner has to say. You'll hear from him next on TSN 1200.
Okay. Yeah, his music, I guess, is okay. Are you guys feeling a summer vibe on that, or is it a the words of the tunes, the time that it comes out?
I think it has to do with when it was released, because it was released July of 2018, so it's got that summer mentality because it was released in the summer.
Okay. You need your summer songs to have the word sun in them?
No,
or heat?
No, I'm
or
just
bikini?
No, it doesn't have to be. I just kind of, yeah.
Or girls?
No, you're right. The timing of, I can remember, yeah, there's lots of songs that
or
come
beer.
Out in the spring. No, not even that. I just think of like Kim Mitchell and that
beach,
patio lanterns.
Waves.
All the, yeah. Little,
you want Wave Babies
little,
by Honeymoon Suite.
Oh,
Honeymoon
oh,
Suite
yeah.
is that summer song
the
right
list.
There.
You could go,
no, did
go.
Not make the top 55 yeah. summer songs of all time.
Did Van Halen make it for the day? They did the, they ended up doing the Beach Boys song, did they not?
No, remakes don't.
Yeah, oh, they don't? No. Okay, because that was
we played the original one.
That, I know, but that was a big hit for them, right?
Yeah, no. We're not doing remakes on the top summer songs of all time.
Okay, is Bryan Adams allowed to be played on the radio now? Or is he been banned?
Bryan Adams, not.
Summer of 69?
No.
Don't have to worry about that here.
Okay.
No, not on the list.
We're going from 7 to 1, so we've done 7 and 6 now. I can tell you that you will know 3 of the top 5.
Okay.
The
okay.
other two, actually, you'll know.
No.
You'll know the other one from. Well, it was a huge. It was last
yeah.
year, right? Biggest song of all year.
Yeah.
Was number 4, and again, like I said, number 1. I'll probably know it when I hear it, but I don't know the names of a lot of songs I hear now. It's like, oh, that one. Okay, I know
one
that
one. One of my go-to songs is good old Despacito for Justin Bieber.
Oh, no.
That's such a bad song.
Oh, it's so good. I love, especially when he's doing it. It's just such a good
Simmer
song.
Simmer falls right? several notches in the eyes of several listeners. All right, welcome back. 641, a text at 12-1200. Simmer, about your going to the grocery store and not finding much meat.
Yeah.
Meat of the Order, who I'm assuming works in a meat department or is a butcher, writes,
okay.
Wednesdays are the worst days to try and buy meat.
Oh, okay.
The flyer sales change on Thursday, so meat managers have a run-out mentality so we don't have to rewrap and reprice everything.
Yeah.
Don't shop for meat on Wednesdays. That advice from Meat of the Order.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Got the tip a while ago at the local Loblaws was that after 6 o'clock is also when the 50% off comes. So that's when you slide in for that. And I'm assuming for any of these things, and I don't even know what the storage of meat or other things, you get into anything as far as fruits and vegetables, meat or anything else, got to be a big decision as to when to put it out, right? Supply and demand, and at this point, not wanting to waste anything at the same time.
Yeah, it's not the 50% off sticker. It's enjoy tonight.
That's exactly. No, you're right. Yeah. And for anything I end
that's
up buying
favorite.
Is being enjoyed right away.
If that's just not a threat, hey, yeah. you
don't enjoy
it tonight.
It should say enjoy tonight and in smaller letters underneath, regret tomorrow.
And I have brought this up, and my local Loblaws is great. The one out in Riverside South, I have no idea who the butcher is there, but they have by far as price component, the best steaks in the city. But my local Loblaws, and they do a hell of a job, that 50% off sushi, I just don't feel like you're moving that. Like, I just don't. There are certain things that I look at. You know, egg salad sandwiches, which they've stopped making their fresh sandwiches, which I understand that a lot of that was for lunch and for the government buildings close by on Riverside, River Road. But I'm just not feeling you're going to be able to move that sushi at 50% off.
No, anything with a mayo component, that feels like it's got to be at least a day, not past a day, past the best
that,
before.
That large potato salad,
the
50% off. The only time you do that is if you're going to someone's cottage and you peel the 50% off thing off.
Oh, hey, you shouldn't have.
Or you put it into your own bowl like you just made it.
Yeah. And you make the entire visiting party sick. That's always welcome as well. All right, welcome back, 6:43. All right, so here we go. The NHLPA, the Players Association Executive Board, is going to be meeting today discussing the latest return-to-play plan, which has been discussed by that committee, which includes the likes of Connor McDavid and Ron Hainsey, et cetera, et cetera. This is the plan we've been telling you about for the past few days. This appears to be the one that's gained the most momentum. And if the NHL does return, looks like it's got the best chance of playing itself out in terms of a playoff this way. The 24-team playoff, 12 teams from the East, 12 teams from the West, based on regular season points percentage up to when they paused the season, you would have the top four teams from each conference would kind of go into their own little pod and play a best of three. They would play a round robin and then reseed themselves based on the results of those three games only. And they would automatically go through to the start of the playoffs. Then you'd have the next eight teams in each conference play. And the latest is now best of five. That this play-in round of 5 versus 12, 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9, they would be best of fives with the four winners of those best of fives moving on and joining the four top seeds from each conference in what would be the de facto kickoff to the regular playoffs, which would all be best of seven. So that's the idea they've talked about.
Yeah.
We've discussed it several for the past several days. That appears to be the one, that if they're going to go down that road, that they're probably going to end up choosing.
Yeah, and again, nothing will be perfect. So when I critique something, I'm not even being critical. It's just trying to get, hey, okay, I look at this and I think the Pittsburgh Penguins against Montreal, and I saw some people in Boston yesterday trotting out the old, do you think Carey Price could take down the Boston Bruins? I'm like, well, they'll never see them. They'll be done. For eight of those teams, you're going to prep for a month. You're going to come in, play between three and five games, so probably a week of hockey, and you're going home. But that's the reality of how it'll be set up. That's interesting. And we also touched on yesterday and thinking again, scheduling, ice time, all that. But I'm surprised with the National Hockey League when I talk about the 12 teams going into one facility, and we discussed kind of after the show of using a lot of the same facility, using the same elevators. I'm surprised that they would not, first of all, break this into four areas. And logistically, if that's not working, that's fine. But I would have all 12 teams in separate facilities, and I would have the ability to cart them in for their games and try to avoid as much as possible. Because the way I'm looking at this is that as I advance to round two here, the two teams, all 16 teams are now locked into a best of seven. I don't have to cross-contaminate with any of the other teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can control the environment of said two teams. I'm surprised that you would put everybody into one hotel. But like I say,
well, we don't know if that's the plan or not.
No, but that's what they've talked about. But you're right. They could. And Vegas, certainly, hey, you've got more than your choice of. But this was kind of the idea when the Brook Street was floated out was, well, there's not enough rooms. In theory, it has been talked about that they would take over one hotel in Vegas and put everybody in one.
Yeah. I can't. Would they even have enough rooms in a hotel? Oh, I have no idea.
Well, the size of Vegas, you would.
Yeah.
I would.
One hotel could house up to, 12 teams?
Up to 500 people. It would be interesting if you looked at the Bellagio or Caesar's Palace.
Because you're looking at minimum, including players, staff, everybody else. Let's say at bare minimum, 50 per team? That's fair to say?
Well, if you're
looking at 30 players,
right?
Don't forget.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be close, yeah. Yeah, so could you house 600? I would assume the Caesar. I'd have to look it up. But I just thought, boy, and I guess also to the hotels, the question is, are all these hotels still shut down, right? If they're shut down, then they're probably more than happy to have one team. Now, if you're going to all of a sudden open up to the public, do the casinos open up at all? Well, now you get into some different issues. So, hey, these are just, it's just always fun discussions. But that was the thing I thought of. Hey, there's going to be eight teams that prep for a month, and the players get there and realize, wow, this is going to be a week of hockey, and then I'm going to be off for the next 4 or 5 months.
So for the six Canadian teams that would qualify for the playoffs, they would all play in this play-in round, this best of five. And as we've told you before, the matchups would be, as it stands right now, Montreal versus Pittsburgh, Toronto versus Columbus, Edmonton versus Chicago, Vancouver versus Minnesota, and there would be one all-Canadian matchup, Calgary versus Winnipeg. Yeah. So that's the way it would set itself up as far as the Canadian teams are concerned.
Yeah, and trying to handicap any of that, my only thought would be a healthy Pittsburgh should take down Montreal, but these are short series, and with guys being off, trying to handicap it or really break it down, who knows? At least we'd have some Canadian teams advance, and as I say, but that's no perfect scenario.
All right, now, as far as the draft is concerned, which, because there's one Canadian team that didn't make that list, that would be the hometown Ottawa Senators. They, of course, are home and cooled in second last place in the NHL. And as it looks like right now, if there's going to be no resumption of the regular season, Ottawa and the six other teams not involved in a playoff would, not reconvene until whenever the next hockey season starts. So they're all going to be about the draft. So here we go. Post-media, Bruce Garriott, post-media, exchanged emails with NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly last night about timing of draft lottery, etc. That's the thing people in Ottawa care about the most. Here's the quote from Bill Daly. I can't tell you there's a precise timetable because there are other things involved. And here we go. The deputy commissioner says a decision will come, quote,
ooh,
this week or next.
So stop
me if you heard this before.
Yeah.
This is now three consecutive weeks in which we've heard from someone with the NHL or a source has said within the NHL this week or next. Now, I'm not strong at math,
yeah,
but I think we've now at some point passed the this week or next timeline. I believe this would be a second time verging on a third.
Yeah, a little surprised, not a little more decisive. And as far as a draft lottery, I guess there's also a realization with the other 24 partners. The focus is on that. The focus is on the playoffs. That's what's going to draw. And I'm not saying it because it's Detroit, two picks by Ottawa, New Jersey, LA, whoever else, Anaheim that's in there. But probably for a lot of people in the National Hockey League, to be quite honest with you, they really couldn't care. I don't want to say they couldn't care, but it's just not. It's not a priority. We're Ottawa-centric, and to have this set, and even for ourselves to then debate for the next 4 or 5 months as to who those picks would be for Ottawa. But I must admit for myself, I'm just curious, right? We kind of have an idea of the draft order, at least in the top three, kind of after that to about eight. It would be nice to have something firm and have a whole lot of fun projecting who Ottawa might take.
Eugene Melnyk, of course, spoke on Toronto radio on the weekend and floated the idea of maybe the idea of the draft lottery being in June, but the draft itself would not be, and other people have talked about this as well, would not be until perhaps sometime in September, presumably after they were able to complete the playoffs. So the draft, which is the main complaint the general managers have had, is that, look, we don't want to change the way we made trades. Yeah. We can't make trades if the draft is going to be before the season, potentially resumes. We just we like things the way they are. So maybe this is I don't say it's a happy medium. But for the teams, the seven teams, or I guess the six teams, because Ottawa's got two picks that care most about the draft. Well, at least you know where you're going to draft, so that's a little bit of a carrot for you.
Yeah.
If you have the lottery in June, that doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And then the draft itself goes back to the way it regularly is following the completion of the season.
Yeah, no, and the theory of that, the only thing I would get nervous if I'm an Ottawa Senators fan is that if I'm the Montreal Canadiens, I'm lobbying that if I get turfed by the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round in three games after I traded Scandell and Kovalchuk and everything else, I want to be in the draft lottery. I would not rule out them going
back.
Can't
have your cake and eat it too.
Well, but they're not having their cake. They probably don't even want to be in a playoff. But my point is, I wonder if the eight teams that are eliminated in that first round are going to want to be back in basically the same as the previous, where all 15 teams are into a draft lottery.
If you have a June lottery, then that's out of the eight.
Well, it would
be
for sure. And that's what you'd hope for Ottawa, that, hey, you lock it in with the seven teams, you get that set, and then everybody else falls into place.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There's the latest on timing of the draft lottery, draft whatever. This week or next, we're going to hear a decision, kids. So mark that down and put it in pen. Soul. All right, we'll take a break. 6:52. When we come back, latest on NBA. They, of all the professional leagues, appear to have their you-know-what together the most. It's probably because they're talking the least and floating the various scenarios out there. It's kind of like, again, the idea that Adam Silver, the commissioner, is just kind of like, okay, let's just keep it on the low side here, everybody. When we've got something to announce, we'll announce it. And they may have something to announce perhaps as soon as next week. So we'll talk about that when we come back here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:56. So of all the major team sports in North America, the league that appears to have its you-know-what together the most is the NBA, and that may be because it's talking the least as far as kind of floating out scenarios about, oh, here's when we're going to come back, and this is what it might be might look like. According to The Athletic, it appears now like the Walt Disney Resort in Orlando has been circled as the place at which they're going to probably have maybe the entire league come together for a playoff. You talk about the scenarios of the NHL, some are going to Vegas or something like that. Walt Disney Resort, and don't forget, of course, which is Walt Disney Resort. Disney owns ESPN and ABC, which are the television partners. So it all kind of works hand in glove. And as far as timing goes, they have been told now that June 1st, so that's next week, there is going to be a concrete proposal which will be put out in terms of specific timelines as how this is all going to work. So within 2 weeks, obviously, with people having to move around in quarantines, et cetera, it'll be 2 weeks for everybody to kind of get through that, get to where they need to be. Then there would be a week or two of individual workouts and then a 2 to 3 week training camp with an eye towards starting a playoff in the NBA sometime in mid to late July. So that is the latest that appears to be out there as far as an NBA's return to play go.
Yeah, the only thing I couldn't figure out, and certainly from a housing standpoint, and God, that's a beautiful area in and around there, the Orlando Arena, of course, has the Magic. They've had the IHL in the past. That facility is fine. Did you see anywhere, read anywhere, what other, like, I mean, my assumption is not every single game, a 16-team playoff is going to be played in the same arena, right? Would they build some facilities, do some different things? But it makes sense. And then the other thing you're talking about, and this is the part the NBA also has, they don't need to say a whole lot. The NHL playoffs in the middle of the summer. Well, there's no Olympics as well. MLB trying to kind of figure out what they're doing and fighting over money. Until the National Football League starts, LeBron James could show up at a local park, put it on TV, and you'd have millions of people watching. Like, right. Their ability to mobilize, it's just on such a completely, and I would even say, I don't want to say heightened, but even coming off of the Michael Jordan documentaries, like, they understand they're sitting there and they don't need to generate jibber jabber or whatever else. The star power they have is like anything else until the National Football League rolls around.
Now, as far as the Raptors are concerned, they're the one, you know, they're the curiosity, I think, for a lot of people, because we have at this point a closed border. Now, we know that, while non-essential travel is banned, athletes can return to you know, either side of the border under of that. But most of the Raptors players apparently are still still down in the States. Yeah. And so the idea, as far as the Raptors are concerned, is that they, in all probability, would move this kind of short training camp they would have probably to somewhere in the States.
Yeah,
they wouldn't try to get guys across the border. They can get across the border, but then you got to get into a 14-day quarantine.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
They may decide to kind of go the other direction.
Yeah.
Quarantines are not in place, correct, in some areas of the United States? Like, there's no aspect of
that?
Well,
first of all, Florida is completely open for business.
Yeah.
That's probably part of the rationale for having this, right? There is no protocol. And as I said, Orlando is a beautiful spot. I just logistically have been down there. That was the only part I could, the housing component, and especially with a park closed. This is almost like when I look at some of the major U.S. schools. If you want to bring sports teams right back right now, a controlled environment is unbelievable with no students. Now, at Disney, kind of the same thing. I just couldn't get my head around on where the heck everyone's practicing and playing. I know I could set up courts to practice, but that was the only thing I was just trying to figure out. And so, as I said, they've got it, and they realize they've got themselves in a real good spot.
Yeah.
Like this summer, if an NBA game's on versus an NHL playoff game, I would lean towards the NBA game most likely, and no Olympics as well. So they certainly have themselves a nice opportunity if they can pull it off.
I would assume, and I don't know, I would assume there are tons of schools in Orlando. I don't know specifically which. Central Florida kind of comes to mind, Florida International.
Yeah.
I don't know where all these schools are, but I would assume they'd have facilities that would allow you to play the games. Again, because there's going to be no fans of these games. It doesn't matter how many seats there are, as long as you're the lighting is decent.
Yeah.
You can put some TV cameras in there. It's all you need.
No, we've seen the NCAA and the NBA play in mega stadiums. I mean, San Antonio for a long time was playing the Alamo Dome. I just wondered, even when they were talking about the construction down there, would they get creative and set up some courts that I don't think you're not going to be outside. It would be too hot in Orlando at that time. Yeah, but would they realize, you know what, we don't need. We could build a set and basically build something that would be great for TV.
All right, a little past 7. We'll get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. And when we come back, we'll kind of revisit the topics from Hour 1, including the latest on the CFL's return to play. September at the earliest. Now, that is for sure. Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner, was on TSN 1200 yesterday and outlined that. We're going to talk about it with Brad Sinopoli, Red Blacks receiver. Will join us after 9. Pierre McGuire will join us after 8. We'll continue to count down Rolling Stones' greatest summer songs of all time. We're into the top 5 now. We'll do that throughout the course of the show. We've got all the pertinent details behind the Champions for Charity golf event, this thing with Tiger, Phil, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. It's going to be on Sunday. Got all the details on that for you. We'll spell it out, including the fact that Charles Barkley has put $200,000 on the line, saying he'd be able to bogey one specific hole. You've seen Charles Barkley swing a golf club, right? You think he can get a bogey? Save himself 200 grand? We'll get into all of that as we roll on here for a Thursday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.